Blog Talk Radio.
Because I had to be at the hospital, but I'm still recovering from my injuries. So we're just going to do a special show today and tomorrow, but tomorrow will be at our regular time, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Among the birthdays today, Oliver Hazard Perry was a naval officer in the War of 1812, where on the Great Lakes, I think it was Lake Erie, there were a United States ship commanded by Oliver Hazard Perry engaged in battle with a British Navy ship, and Oliver's famous words were, "We have met the enemy and they are ours." The joke about Detroit, which is across the river from Windsor, Ontario, Canada, is that maybe it's time to consider a sense during the War of 1812, General Dearborn lost Detroit. He surrendered Detroit and that part of Michigan to the British. Maybe we should just let them have it, let the Canadians have it, because they seem to be able to handle their municipal affairs more financially responsible. That's what some people think. It may not happen. It probably won't happen. At least it is a thought. Maybe it'll shake up those spendthrifts in Detroit. This is the birthday in 1833 of Benjamin Harrison, who was the son of William Henry Harrison, who gave the longest inauguration speech in U.S. history. He did it bareheaded. He ran for president. He was from Indiana, the only president from Indiana. And his political slogan when he ran for president was Tippecanoe and Tyler too. John Tyler was a Southerner. He was his vice presidential running mate. He's also related to later to Harry Truman, president. Benjamin Harrison was known. He was a one-term president in between the two Cleveland administrations. Harrison was very strict about patronage. Also, there was a big dispute with the Canadians and the British about fur trading. We'll get into that, and I did write about it in the book that had to be withdrawn, called Political Animals. Those of you who remember Valley of the Dolls, with that author, Jack and Suzanne, was born on this day. And I think it was, what's his name, the guy who had that awful voice. He referred to her as she had the face of a truck driver. Very, very bitchy remark. And another controversial character, William Gray III, he was a black Democrat from Louisiana. He was convicted of public corruption. The FBI found a stash of money in his freezer. I guess that's what you'd call cold cash. One of the first Asians to be a anchor, newscaster, Connie Chung, born in 1946 on this date. And I think she was married to one of the shock jocks. Among the deaths, Paul Ehrlich. Ehrlich was the guy, if I'm not mistaken, who found a cure, not a cure, but a treatment for venereal disease or syphilis. On this day also, Leon Trotsky, he was stabbed by one of Stalin's hitmen, an assassin named Mercator. This happened in Mexico where Trotsky had fled. And Trotsky is very important to San Francisco because he was the grand uncle of Philip Bronstein. The original family name of Trotsky was Bronstein. And, of course, Leon Bronstein took the name Trotsky when he became a communist, and he was the founder of the Red Army. And we're going to play rare audios of his. And here's the first one. This is Trotsky in exile. Audio, here we go.
Dear comrades and friends, I hope that this time my voice will reach you and that I will be permitted in this way to participate in your double celebration. Both events, the 10th anniversary of our American organization, as well as the Foundation Congress of the Fourth International, deserve the attention of the workers and comparably more than the warlike gestures of the totalitarian chiefs, the diplomatic intrigues, or the pacifist congresses. Both events will enter history as important milestones. No one has now the right to doubt that. It is necessary to remark that the birth of the American growth of Bolshevik Leninist thanks to the courageous initiative of comrades Kennan, Schachtman, and Abern, didn't stand alone. It approximately coincided with the beginning of the systematic international work of the left opposition. It is true that the left opposition arose in Russia in 1923, 15 years ago. But regular work on an international scale began with the 6th Congress of the Comintern. Without a personal meeting, we reached an agreement with the American pioneers of the 4th International before all on the criticism of the program of the Communist International. Then, in 1928, began the collective work, which after 10 years led to the elaboration of our own program recently adopted by our international conference. We have the right to say that the work in this decade was not only persistent and patient, but also honest. The Bolshevik Leninists, the international pioneers, our comrades across the world, searched the way of the revolution as genuine Marxists, not in their feelings and wishes, but in the analysis of the objective march of events. Above all, were we guided by the preoccupation not to deceive others nor ourselves. We searched seriously and honestly, and some important things were found by us. The events confirmed our analysis as well as our prognosis. Nobody can deny it.
Now that was Leon Trotsky, one of the speaking rough English, Russian English. We have another one. I think I'll play this one, where he was talking about Stalin show trials during the 30s, where Stalin decided to purge the Communist Party and the Communist leadership in Russia, purge them of any possible contenders to his dictatorship. And he had these show trials. Stalin decimated the Russian army leadership. Many of their officer corps were either shot or sent to the gulags. One did survive, Marshal Rokossovsky, who later was one of the commanders of Russian armies, which captured Berlin. He survived the show trials and the gulags. So this is, and of course, Trotsky had Stalin had chased Trotsky out of Russia. The Trotskyites are considered to be, in some quarters, considered to be bourgeois communists, and this Trotsky had this confrontation with Stalin over the future of communism. It should be noted that Lenin, before he died, Lenin, who was the founder of Russia, the communist Russia, warned everybody not to trust Stalin, but he died. He was shot in an attempted assassination. He survived that, but he was, I think, crippled, and he died later. And, of course, Stalin had fooled everybody, you know, this ex-Orthodox seminarian, and proceeded to consolidate his power by setting any perceived opposition up under trumped-up charges, which later led to these notorious show trials. Here is Trotsky's comment on that.
It seems obvious. You will easily understand if I begin my short address to you in my very imperfect English by addressing my warm tongue to the Mexican people and to the man who leads them with its merit and courage, President Cardenas. When monstrous and absurd accusations were hurled at me and my family, then my wife and myself were under the lock and key of the Norwegian government. Without being able to defend ourselves, the Mexican government opened the doors of his magnificent country and said to us, here you can freely defend your rights and your honor. Naturally, it is not a sympathy for myself or my ideas which have motivated President Cardenas, but a fidelity to his own ideas, all the more meritorious then in his act of democratic hospitality, the rarity states. Stalin's trial against me is built upon false confessions, extorted by modern inquisitorial methods in the interest of the ruling elite. There are no crimes in history more terrible in intention and execution than the Moscow trials of Zinoviev Kamenev and then of Pyatakov Radek. His trials developed not from communism, not from socialism, but from Stalinism, that is, from the irresponsible despotism of the bureaucracy over the people. What is now my principal task? To reveal the truth, to show and to demonstrate that the true criminals hide under the cloak of the accusers. What will be the next step in his direction? The creation of an American and European and subsequently also an international commission of inquiry, composed of people who incontestably enjoy authority and public consideration. In confidence, I undertake to present to such a commission all my files, thousands of personal and open letters, in which the development of my thoughts and my action is reflected day by day, without any gaps. I have nothing to hide. Dozens of witnesses who are abroad assess invaluable facts and documents which will shed light on the Moscow framework. The work of the Commission of Inquiry must terminate in a Greek counter-trial. A counter-trial is necessary to cleanse the atmosphere of the germs of disease, colonies, participation, and frame-ups whose source is Stalin's police, the great Peul, which has fallen to the level of the Nazi Gestapo. Esteemed audience, you may have many varying attitudes toward my ideas and my political activity for 40 years. But an impartial inquiry will confirm that there is not a stain on my honor, both personal and political. Profoundly convinced that the right is on my side, I wholeheartedly salute the citizens of the New World.
You know, it's interesting. You hear the cock crowing in the background. It's almost like something out of the Bible where there's the phrase that the cock crowed three times when St. Peter reportedly betrayed Jesus in the garden. Or Judas. St. Peter. Now, the other events today, in 1930, the Dumont, who made TVs, broadcast his first home broadcast on TV. It wasn't the great color and high definition that we see today, but it was in black and white. The Germans, during World War II, in fact, we had in our archives, we have clips. The Germans did quite a bit with TV for their propaganda. And, you know, they didn't get credit for a lot of the things that they have done. But we'll give them credit as well as blame for some of the other things that they have done. Now, the importance of Trotsky is that he was the granduncle of Philip Bronstein, who was the editor of the former San Francisco Examiner Hearst paper. It became very leftist, and they wouldn't do a lot of things. He later worked at the Chronicle, which Hearst also bought from the DeYoung family and the Fang family. The De Jongs were Dutch Jews, of Jewish heritage, or that family, and I don't know if they're practiced. But what's important was that Bronstein eventually quit the paper, and he's now with they call it the Center for Investigative Reporting. However, it's politically correct. A lot of things which were brought to their attention have been ignored. And, of course, that's one of the reasons why we have blogs and alternative media like James O'Keefe and Breitbart. It's all changed. Now, it's interesting. I would highly recommend Jack Cashel's book for any Roman Catholic who's concerned about the finances of the church, the Roman Catholic Church, and the Vatican's role in some of these scandals, and also this whether and what the church is going to do about these financial scandals of Vatican Bank, and if Pope Francis, who is a Jesuit but is acting like a Franciscan, what can he do, or what will he do, and what will he be able to do? One pope who was going to investigate the Vatican Bank, Jean-Paul I, albino, died mysteriously. Some think he was murdered and lasted 30 days. Now, there is a history of murder and assassination in the papacy. This was done in the earlier times, around the times of the Borgias. But anyway, Jack Cancel's book has a lot of interesting stuff in it. He's a great writer, and it's called Popes and Bankers. It's still available on Amazon. But one of the things that I didn't know, and I was into study communications, was that I've always talked about how Johannes Gutenberg, who invented the printing press, how that broke the monopoly of the monks, the Roman Catholic monks in the monasteries who had the monopoly on copying books and pamphlets, that sort of thing, and there was nothing mechanical available at that time. Well, it turns out that after Gutenberg had invented his press, Pope Nicholas decided that he would give him a contract to print pamphlets which illustrated the indulgences. These were forgiveness of sins. If you prayed or paid for your, this was your penance for committing sins, and this would facilitate your descent into heaven instead of to the nether places. And so this gave the big impetus and broke the monk's monopoly on publishing pamphlets and books and that sort of thing. And since Gutenberg had the press, he got this contract. This was the big impetus, and things haven't been the same since. And this is not known that the Catholic Church inadvertently, which had the monopoly on this type of communication, facilitated the latest communications by giving Gutenberg that contract to print these pamphlets. This was in Jack Cashel's book. There's a lot of other information that goes right up into these security-backed mortgages and all the scandals with Countrywide, J.P. Morgan, all these people. And it does have a connection. One of the Boston brokerage houses, one of their employees was connected to this corrupt late former San Francisco county judge, Kevin Vincent Ryan, who claimed to have been lived all his life in San Francisco, yet his marriage certificate said he was born in Alberta, Canada. And so this is kind of the issue that Ted Cruz, they're trying to attack Ted Cruz, who's definitely, some people think that he should run for president. He would be the first Hispanic person of Hispanic heritage. He was born in Canada. Both his parents were American. So this is an issue. Anyway, also today, Bradley Manning, I don't know if he's been sentenced, but had he been in the Russian army and committed treason, he would have ended up like Oleg Penkovsky and other Russians who were accused of or even have committed treason. He would have got a bullet in the back of his head. So people need to get real about espionage and its role in preserving national security and the safety of its citizens. All the countries in the world engage in some form of the major companies. You have MI5, MI6 in Britain. You have the Sûreté in France. You have the German intelligence, and they've inherited quite a bit from their operatives in the German army who were in Russia during the Operation Barbarossa. And so these are things that people, especially Americans, need to get wise about because it's necessary, it is done, and because some of the information that has been obtained through espionage has kept us safe. And this is so important. The first really modern spy apparatus was set up by Walsingham, who was official in Queen Elizabeth I's court. Now, they were Protestants, and they were worried about the Catholics who were trying to overthrow and assassinate Elizabeth I. She was considered a bastard. And so Walsingham ran their, in effect, their spy service, their secret service. And things haven't been the same in the British intelligence ever since Walsingham. So this is among the history that people do not look into. Also, in World War One and Two, there was a Canadian businessman named William Stephenson, it's P-H-E-S-O-N, and he was conducting espionage and intelligence on this side of the pond for Britain, of course, Canada in that connection. And I understand they tapped into the Atlantic cable and listen to the transmissions of the German government to their spies and operatives and their diplomatic personnel here in the United States. So it's not very much known about him. Also, there's a story of Garbo, another guy. We'll get into that another day. Anyway, we're going to be back at 4 p.m. And we'll have more on Trotsky. Also, this whole business about the license plates, free license plates, not only for legislators. We just got some updated information that California, as of December, have ceased giving free cars to of any cost, Cadillacs, SUVs, sports cars. But California will no longer, or has no longer, as of December 2012, given free cars to legislators. However, there's a question of these license plates and the legislators' families and also retired legislators. So go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUS, and you will see a California legislator. The plate listed that one of our people caught is S24. And it's a BMW, which has been designated as the most dangerous vehicle, mass-produced vehicle on the road when it's driven by males between the ages, I think, of 20 and 50. And this guy was driving this BMW with this California state Senate plate, and he was texting. And you will see it on California legislator caught texting at Amicus Veritas YouTube, AMICUSVERITAS. And we will end with our usual, and we'll be back at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time tomorrow. We also have in the can, we just have to edit it down, an expose by a retired legal secretary. These are the people, if you want to know about lawyers, if you know somebody who is a legal secretary, you know, it's the old story, a man is not a hero to his butler. And a lawyer is not a hero to his legal secretary. They know a lot of things, and some of them are more intelligent and more hardworking than the lawyers who get a lot of this publicity. So we'll end with our usual politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We got to pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Expense.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, what do you say?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it going? Jack Riley, the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shove them up the cards and find the joker. Need a game for children.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrays.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyachinkovich, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker. Play for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck.
Predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck.
Politics and poker, politics.
We'll be back tomorrow at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, our usual time. We slipped up, and also we decided to do the show on Tuesday because we were at the hospital yesterday. So go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas, and we'll be updating. There was a hacking of our master web pages. AmicusVeritas.net is the new listing on in our blogs, and it's 10 years of work and nearly 45 years experience. It's Peter Paul Brazola. Good night. Stay safe.